This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock,
what do you think?
Just I like love that. It. That was great. Thank
you. New at 11, what do beer cans and a fake holiday called Festivus have to do tonight with the fight over separation of church and state? Well, plenty, as it turns out, and a local man's in the middle of the debate. News Channel 5's Jay Kashmir has more on the man at the center of the controversy.
As Festivus rules dictate,
it's made from aluminum. Very high strength to weight ratio.
Chaz Stevens' Festivus pole is made from the proper material, but he took the liberty of deciding to use cans of PBR.
Got me through college. They don't understand.
Last week, this atheist, who disagrees with all religious expression on government property, successfully petitioned the governor to put this in the state capitol.
A new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
It will go next to the nativity scene.
All or none. They opened the door. So if they're going to allow a menorah, they're going to have a crèche, they're going to allow a Pabst Blue Ribbon port. Maybe a flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
Buckhorn Tone pastor Mark Boykin isn't close to cracking a smile, saying this isn't about freedom of speech.
Where does that cross over into the right and the respect of others? If this were a true religion, where's the heritage? Where's the history?
Wikipedia says Festivus dates back to the mid-1900s, but it truly entered pop culture when it landed on Seinfeld.
Is that the pole?
George, Festivus is your heritage. It's part of who you are.
That's why I hate it.
Well, now it's part of the state capitol, a symbol of this Deerfield Beach's man's insistence that separation of church and state is absolute.
There's going to be quite the list of the airing the grievances against Chaz Stevens, I'm sure.
Jay Kashmir, WPTV News Channel 5.
All right. Well, happy Festivus Eve, everybody. Welcome to it. You know, normally we do the Festivus show on Festivus, but tomorrow... The 23rd of December is actually Festivus, and it's Thursday, and Howie Klein's going to be here, and he's not, you know, this is not his thing. So I thought today we would celebrate Festivus Eve, right? And do today have the actual Festivus celebration, because it's a
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah, man. So here's the deal with Festivus, in case you're not familiar. Shame on you. But here's the story of Festivus.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son.
Yeah?
I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man.
Oh.
As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
When George was growing his father hated all the commercial and religious aspects of Christmas, so he made up his own holiday.
Oh, and another piece of the puzzle falls into place.
All right.
And instead of a tree, didn't your father put up an aluminum pole?
All right, Jerry, stop it.
And then weren't there feats of strength that always ended up with you crying?
I can't take it anymore. I'm going to work. You happy now?
Oh, so there's a few clips, and throughout the hour, we'll dig into the Seinfeld Festivus archives, and even maybe go to some viewer talent. There are, believe it or not, Festivus songs on the YouTube. You see, I'm kind of a pagan. I don't ascribe to the traditional holidays. We don't celebrate Christmas here. We didn't celebrate Hanukkah. When my kid was little, she had Santa Claus, of course, but I don't do the religious part of it. But you heard in that news clip that was actually from a few years ago with the Florida guy who decided, because they were going to have this religious holiday thing display in Tallahassee, that he wanted a Festivus pole there. And so he built one out of Pabst Blue Ribbon aluminum cans And he placed it in the Capitol up in Tallahassee where they had to let it be. The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster also had a display there. And that was the year that I decided to become ordained. I am an ordained Pastafarian minister. Yes, a minister in the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, which means actually nothing. But I can officiate at a wedding. However, I'd have to get some kind of certification from the county, which apparently I can get. And my ordination as a minister in the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster cost me $20. So there's that. I have the certificate in the other room. I actually meant to bring it in here, and I just didn't get around to it. So today, in the spirit of Festivus Eve, we have a Zoom going. Now, the question is going to be whether or not I can get it working so that I can bring up the picture of everyone on Zoom on YouTube. And, well, it looks like we've got... The thing is, because I'm showing in there, if... I wonder if I can just get rid of my own picture in here. Hold on one second. If I stop my video, what happens? I stop my video. Oh, it shows a logo. Maybe this will work. Let's see. We'll give it a shot, okay? Because what I do, we have a Zoom going. And to get into our Zoom room, you just need to go to tinyurl.com/FestivusZoom. Yes? I do. David, you should have been here an hour ago when I was fighting with this thing. Yes, I should have a setting in there for gallery, but it doesn't really work for me. So anyway, here's the thing. If you want to come into the Zoom, come in. I will see you there. I will bring you into the picture. You're not seeing me, but I can probably put my picture up on the screen in another way. But in the meantime, why don't we start? I know my husband has a meeting to get to. So David wanted to join us to air the grievances. Let me explain to you about the airing of the grievances.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances.
Yeah,
it does. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Yeah.
Now you're going to hear about it.
So that's what the airing of the grievances is. Festivus, I should put my picture back up here while we do this. Festivus is a twofold celebration. There is the airing of the grievances, and there's the feats of strength. And so today we're going to do both. So if you participate, you come in our Zoom room. I'm letting people in as I see them. When you come in, you can decide if you want to air a grievance or if you want to display your feats of strength. Whatever you would like to do is fine. Just let me know when I bring you in. So we're going to start with my husband, David Sloat. I see Hillary Keyes showing the feats of strength. I got to figure out how to get us all in this picture. All right, hold on. I'm going to put up the group shot. You can watch on the YouTube. By the way, if you're not on the YouTube, you can certainly get it by going to NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. Their YouTube is embedded in there. And that's a way to start anyway. All right. So I see David Sloan is in the room. If you're not speaking, I'm going to ask you to mute your microphones. Otherwise, it's going to get really loud and noisy. So David is up first because he's got to leave us. So David, take it away. Let's see if this will work. David, hello. David, are you muted? No. David, why can't I hear you then? Let's see if David is muted. Hold on one second. I could already tell this is not working great. Exit full screen. All right. I need to do that. And let's see. David is not muted. I don't know what. Okay. Talk, David Sloan. I still can't hear you. Oh, wait a minute. I think I know why. Bear with me one second because this is all new. I got to try one thing because I wonder if no, I do have a microphone on this. Damn it. We should be hearing you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So that's Joy speaking. I heard Joy. Hillary, say something.
Can you hear me?
I hear Hillary Keyes. David Sloan, I don't hear you. David, try again.
David, Take your mute off.
He's not muted. He's not muted.
He might be self-muted. Yeah. He might not see that his mute is on.
No, but I'm looking at his thing and it's not muted.
He might need to raise the sound on his he's using.
David, you know what? You may have to just walk in here and not do the Zoom thing.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, he'll just walk in here.
It's all right. Christmas. And while he's, it's Festivus.
It is. It's a Festivus for the rest of us. But
we can't see you now.
You will in one second.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You there you are. What did you do?
I was trying to use my Bluetooth headset because the sound is better on that.
Yeah, but no, can't do it.
I'm here now, and you can see me. You can hear me.
We can.
You can touch me.
No.
Where is Sandy?
Where's hear me. Who? Touch me. Okay. Anyway, I got a lot of problems with you people.
Really now? What are your grievances?
We love you too, David.
I got a couple of grievances. First of all,
yes.
My first grievance is with Amazon Prime and specifically Nicole Kidman.
Oh my God.
We watched the movie last night, Becoming the Ricardos. Whoever thought that woman could act? She has the emotional range of a lawn chair.
Okay, Joy, if you're going to talk in your phone, you need to mute your Zoom speaker.
Joy, mute.
Okay, David, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, as I was saying, she has the emotional range of a lawn chair. The movie was horrible. It's 2 hours of my life that I will never get back. It was just awful, and it really wounds me because, darling, as you know, when I come home, I tend to say, Lucy, I'm home.
Yeah, I know.
So it wounds me deeply.
Yes.
The other thing is I got a problem with Barack Obama.
Oh.
The reason I have a problem with Barack Obama is Barack Obama gave us Tom Perez.
Yeah.
Tom Perez gave us a 50-50 Senate, and the 50-50 Senate fucked us sideways.
Yeah.
So those are my grievances. I shall leave you now because I am going to go perform feats of strength.
Okay, you go.
I like to work out while I listen to the Nicole scene.
Yes, I know. All right, so I tried to bring up so the speaker would be visible on the screen, and it gave us a visual feedback. Anyway, David's going to leave us now because he's going to go work out because he's my big, strong, manly man husband, and he does exercise his feats of strength. So, all right, David, thank you.
Love you all.
Love you. All right.
Happy holidays, David.
So who would like to go next? I'm looking at the Zoom room. We've got a few people who are camera shy who just have their names up there and they don't want their
people.
All right. Well, Joy, you know what? This was Joy's idea. Listener Joy. She's the one who suggested a couple of weeks ago that we have some kind of what used to be called a rap session. Right back in the old days, it was a rap session when a group of people would sit around and just bitch and complain and air the grievances. But then rap became rap. You know, my kid doesn't believe me when I told her when I was little, when I was her age, there was no such thing as rap music. That had happened.
No, it's sort of true.
But it was not as we know it. There was no hip hop. It didn't exist. Rap really the early rap records were. If you're talking traditional rap, it's like LL Cool J and Grandmaster Flash and all those. And that was the 70s. So anyway, I digress. What is an old-fashioned rap session updated to 2021? And it's Festivus, so we're airing the grievances. All right. So, Joy, you're the one who suggested we do something like this in a phone call about a month or so ago. So why don't you go? You have any grievances to air?
If you're talking traditional rap, it's like LL Cool J and Grandmaster Flash.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, somebody just came in. It must be this Deborah. Deborah, I'm going to mute you. All right, I'm muting Deborah. Because Deborah came in with her computer sound blaring, and it took over. So I muted her. So Deborah, you gotta fix that. Okay, I'm sorry, Joy. Go on.
Okay, first of all, rap actually started in opera back in
the 17th
century.
That's opera. That's not rap.
It is rap, but I won't go into that now, because I studied opera. But okay, grievances. Let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin is a hell of a grievance.
Just go the hell away and die already.
Uh-huh.
Can I just say that?
You can say whatever you want here. Yes.
I would like to get rid of the fact that my husband had back surgery, that I had 6 teeth removed this year, that I had to travel outside of the state to get it done. I had to go to Mexico, that I had to evacuate in 2020, that I lost my dad and my dog in the same year.
Oh, God.
I went through everything in the past 2 years. It's been the past 2 years from hell. We were being threatened with the fires in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and we had to evacuate from all of Scotts Valley, the whole town, and part of Santa Cruz had to too. We went through holy crap, and then my health just started to really deteriorate. I've lost 30 pounds, and it's not because I was trying to. It's because I couldn't eat because I had these teeth taken out, my molars. And so I can't eat like I normally eat. And I'm a cook. I'm a really good cook.
I've seen the pictures.
And it's just been one thing after the other. Our dishwasher.
You know what?
Refused Joy, to work.
I have a song to play for you. It's a perfect song for this occasion. We'll take a little break. I'll leave the sound up so you can all hear it. It's a very special.
You can play anything you want on YouTube.
Yes, it's a very special Christmas song. Oh, sure I can. Very special Christmas song, and everybody can actually sing along because I think the lyrics will be up on the screen. And it comes to us from one of our favorite singers, from a band known as Monty Python. Go figure.
Oh, I love Monty.
Goes like this.
Fuck Christmas. It's a waste of fucking time. Fuck Santa. He's just out to get your dime. Fuck Holly and fuck Ivy and fuck all that mistletoe. Stupid fucking Christmas songs everywhere you go. And bloated big fat bastards all going ho ho ho. It's fucking Christmas time again. Fuck Christmas.
Everybody sing.
It's a fucking Disney show. Fuck turkey. And fuck all that fucking snow. Fuck reindeer and fuck Rudolph with his stupid fucking nose. Fucking sleigh bells ringing everywhere you fucking goes. Fuck stockings and fuck shopping.
Yeah.
It just drives us all insane. Go tell the elves to fuck themselves. It's Christmas time again.
Eric Idle, everybody. And yes, fuck Christmas. All right. So, Joy, I'm sorry. I thought it was appropriate, given, you know, the story you were telling us. I thought that would cheer us up.
Well, no, actually, this is the only time I start to feel some lightness in my heart. And I need the lightness because I need the light from a solstice.
I hear you. All right. Well, we heard your grievances. Do you have any feats of strength to share?
Yeah, I made those mushrooms, which just amazed me.
Those look very good.
They were all meringue, and they're mushrooms.
Okay.
And they look like mushrooms, and I can't really share them in the Zoom channel, but I can put them on the chat, in the chat.
In the YouTube chat.
Yeah, we had a lot of strength things. Tom is getting better. I'm getting stronger, and I'm starting to get the house together, which has been a challenge for this year, and I'm starting to feel more empowered because I can help you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And actually, people should know, Joy did come online with me earlier today to try to figure out this Zoom thing. You know, I have gremlins in my studio. So the way other people are able to do this effortlessly, for some reason, doesn't work. But we've got it going now. So that's a good thing. All right. Let me share with you, if I may. Let's see. I've got two lists here. I've got the grievances and I've got the feats of strength. I'm going to share with you feats of strength from a guy named David Yankovich, who is a Twitter follower, and I follow him as well. And this morning I read a thread by him that was really good. So I reached out to him and asked him if he wanted to come on with us and share this, because these are feats of strength. I don't want to be too overly negative, which I can do from time to time, go figure. And he's in Ohio. He's settling his father's estate. So I'm guessing there was just a death in the family. So with his permission, I'm going to share with you his Twitter thread. He says, the level of negativity I'm seeing and hearing from Democrats on here is unnerving, but I get it. POTUS's message isn't getting out. So let's start with the economy. It's the strongest of any first-term president in 50 years. Keep reading, he says. Corporate America is exploding because Biden's COVID-19 vaccination and American rescue plans reduced the jobless rate to 4.2% in November from 6.2% in February. Also, the GDP growth in every incoming administration during the past four decades never exceeded 2.74% until 2021. I'm going to talk about how the American Rescue Plan a few times, of how much of it, I should have edited it before, because of how much it saved us. Through the American Rescue Plan, Biden threw $66 billion.
Get out of here.
Okay. Joy, you got to mute your... You got to mute your microphone. $66 billion into 36 million households. Think that helped the economy and children eat? The Rescue Plan cut child poverty in half. They said it couldn't get this bill done, which is something of a trend now. Then Biden followed up and passed the historic $1 trillion infrastructure deal. This bill addressed a major public safety crisis on multiple fronts. It also put $550 billion of new federal investments in America's infrastructure over 5 years, got $1 billion to reconnect communities, mainly black neighborhoods that were divided by highways and other infrastructure. This goes on for a couple of pages, talking about good things. Sometimes it feels hopeless and like we're just getting our asses kicked. But in reality, we are making historic progress. He writes, don't doubt Joe Biden and his never-ending ability to find a deal and to try to share these accomplishments in your own feeds. Democracy is counting on you. So there's a feat of strength. I don't necessarily agree with the whole thing. I will post the Twitter thread, the entirety of it. I didn't realize it was that long. And I don't want to read the whole thing. But while we share our feats of strength and our grievances, you know, we need to balance the negatives and the positives. So I did that. So how about a grievance? Here's a grievance for you. Just moments before I came on the air, a news alert. At 4:30 this afternoon, the jury hearing the Ghislaine Maxwell case, the child sex trafficking case, they recessed at 4:30 today. They will resume deliberations on Monday, because it appears they might be deadlocked. How can you be deadlocked? This woman groomed teenage girls for the most noted sexual predator in the country, so he could have his way with them, and they can't come to a verdict on this? And so now they're breaking for Christmas. There's two other trials, and I don't know what happened if they're breaking early. What, tomorrow's not even Christmas Eve. Why are they stopping now? Why didn't they keep going until Thursday, at least? Just, you know, it's my grievance, and I can air a grievance. Okay, so looking back at the Zoom room, who wants to go next? You can either air a grievance or display your feats of strength or some combination of the two. Anyone? I see people in the Zoom room, but nobody's raising a hand. Hillary Keyes, I'm going to go with you. Because Hillary, for those who don't know, I've known Hillary. We've known each other for a long, long time. Hillary runs an amazing. She's an activist down here in South Florida. She's involved in every organization. She also runs the coolest place in Palm Beach. It's called the Left of Center, and it's a house, right? And you do. It's just open for progressive organizing. It's so cool. So how are you doing, Hillary?
I'm doing okay. Well, for right now, it's just me in the Left of Center. Well, me and my Bernie collection.
I see Bernie. Yes.
You know, during COVID, it's just been me hanging out here and turning it into my own little she shed that's not behind my house.
Uh-huh.
But what we have started doing is at the Left of Center, it's been groups like Democracy for America, Progressive Democrats of America, Raging Grannies, a lot of different mm-hmm. groups. And what we do, and I'm going to share this as it, my feats of strength, is that every Wednesday from 7 to 9, this was timing just right, we do what we call the virtual Left of Center, which is a Zoom where we discuss politics, both South Florida, and national, and strategize and plan on ways to take action. So I would encourage, we have a Facebook page called the Left of, LEFTOF, like one word.
Left of okay. Center. Right.
And welcome anybody who's interested to come join us.
And if you're in Broward or Palm Beach County, you can join in person when you do in-person events. I don't know what you're doing now with COVID.
Right. We're not doing a lot of in-person events, but we will be doing on January 6th out in front of the Left of Center, masked, just kind of a visual in recognition and of, you know, what we need to do to prevent
another January 6th.
January 6th.
Can I air a grievance here while we're talking about January 6th? The former guy is holding a press conference at Mar-a-Lago on January 6th. He announced this moments after Nancy Pelosi announced that although the House will not be in session the first week in January, the Senate will, by the way, and some senators are not happy about that, but I digress. The House is going to have all kinds of solemn remembrances, activities, vigils, things going on to mark this solemn occasion. And the former guy, that orange piece of shit, is having a press conference at Mar-a-Lago so he can continue spreading his big lie. I say journalists should just refuse to show up, because if you're a real journalist, that's not a news event. That's propaganda. And it's not their role to further the propaganda, to spread the mm-hmm. shit. Right? Okay. Sorry. Just got to get it out when it comes. Absolutely. You got to get it out. Yeah.
Absolutely got to air those grievances. And one of my grievances this week was trying to get things out in the post office for the holidays for my sister, who's like the only person that I send anything to because she loves Christmas, and I'm more on that the song what you said, but but going in there and all these people without fucking masks, including the people working behind the counter. And I you know, and I went into a small one hoping that okay it would be easier. And I basically said, you know, excuse me, is there, you know, may I please have an attendant who is wearing a mask? And the one woman pulled out and rolled her eyes and pulled out the mask. And I mean, I am usually very patient with, you know, postal workers and people in stores this time of year. I understand that it's tough, but come on, you know, how are we ever going to get past this if people aren't trying to protect each other? So that's my big, wear the damn mask.
No kidding. Wear the masks and take the damn vaccine and get boosted. What is so hard to understand?
And I mean, when going into stores with cashiers, you're like, well, I'm vaccinated. I'm like, well, thank you. I'm glad you're vaccinated. But we also need to wear the masks, mm-hmm. especially if you're in a situation where you're dealing with a lot of people in the, of the public. And I don't know how many people have come in, you know, with COVID that, you know, that now it's we're going back and forth. How do I know that? So anyway, but I also want to focus on some positive feats of strength. Look at
yes.
how, you know, A, the squad, which we have expanded this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, as frustrated as I am with people like Manchin and Enema.
Yes.
I try and focus on, look, we are building a lot. We have to look at this as a long-term strategy to continue to bring people into the Democratic Party. And I know that's a, for, and it's a tipping point for me, but if we keep, you know, and I know the other day you said that, you know, this project that we did, we failed.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to twist that a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, please do, because you're still involved.
As a contradiction, but that we did not succeed totally in what we had hoped to do.
Right.
But we have built and we've had several smaller successes that have been really important. Like we've got three really strong progressives from Florida on the DNC now.
Which is great. That's important.
So important. In Palm Beach County, we got 75 new progressives into the DEC. Now, mm-hmm. our DEC is really big, so that's still not,
you know what, you know, Hillary, and let me amend what I was saying. What I'm mostly Florida, well, Florida is Florida. We know that. Palm Beach County is doing really well. There are some counties that that exceeded expectations and hopes. But I'm in Broward County, which certainly was the bluest county in the state, one of the bluest counties in the country, and there's nothing going on here. The activism in Broward County is dead. There's a small group of maybe a dozen people who show up at everything, and that's it. And it's frustrating. And frankly, I just couldn't stand the Florida Democratic Party leadership on those Zoom membership meetings. I had enough. I would get more upset sitting and listening to those calls than if I weren't on them because of the way they treat the progressives.
Oh, I totally understand. And that's why I, you know, from my perspective, and I totally, you know, not dismissing, believe me, I get so frustrated.
I bet.
But I would like to encourage any listeners who feel like, you know, that, you know, like we're saying, we don't like the Democratic Party. Yeah, I agree. That's why we have to be the Democratic Party.
Right.
And we have to build more progressive power into it. And yes, it's torturous at many times, but the more people that we can get progressives in who are not the establishment beholden to the corporate, you know, game, the more we can get done.
Right. I agree. And I tried. Yeah. I just don't have
I know you
the
did.
Patience.
And I this really is not don't. At all a, this is not at all a, you know, judgment on you or on anyone who, you know, jumped in and went, holy crap.
No, and but, I'll tell you something. It helped being part of that for the short time that I was helpful. I have a friend who's in the Orlando area who actually contacted me a while ago and said, you know, I'm thinking of primarying Stephanie Murphy. And I'm like, do it. And so I introduced her to Carolina Ampudia, who is the head of the Florida Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. And she introduced her to somebody who introduced her to some. And anyway, so first they talked her out of it, saying that Stephanie Murphy is too dug in there and she's going to, you know, she'll win her, you know, you can't primary her. She's too entrenched, but in 2024, she's going to run for the Senate. And then Stephanie Murphy yesterday, was it yesterday, says, I'm not running again. Well, good for us, because Blue Dogs be gone. But and so now my friend is thinking, well, but she's already met all these people, so she's going back at it, and hopefully she'll run. Because we need progressives. We don't need Blue Dogs like Stephanie Murphy.
Yeah, yeah. Message me about her.
Okay.
I will. I'm all into this. And I just wanted to just put it out there. Anyone, I'll put the Facebook page for the Left of Center in the chat.
Okay.
And if anybody is interested in you know, becoming a precinct leader and helping with building into the Democratic Party, feel free to contact me, and we'll put you in contact with people who can do that.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. Hillary Keys, everybody. Will it embarrass you if I said who your dad was? Hillary,
go ahead. Okay. Yes, okay.
When we were children, we all read the book Flowers for Algernon, right? Hillary Keys is the daughter of the author. What was your father's name?
Daniel Keys.
Daniel Keys. Daniel Keys, who wrote Flowers for Algernon, is Hillary's dad. When I learned that, I was just, oh my God, I need to go back and read that book again, because it was one of my favorites as a kid. So I just had to mention that. All right. You mentioned the squad. So you can't do a real feats of strength without showing AOC showing off her feats of strength. Take it away, AOC.
Hey, everybody. Unbelievably, we are coming to the end of 2021. So for the second year in a row, we wanted to take a moment to look back at some of our collective accomplishments over the year.
Feats of strength.
A bit differently here with Team AOC. So no matter if there's an election year or not, we stay organizing all year round. So in addition to some of our exciting work in Congress, we also have a lot of powerful community building wins for us to share. So let's get to it. Here are 21 wins from 2021. All Number right. one, our Homework Helpers program provided over 4,000 hours of free tutoring to the community with over 500 volunteer tutors. Two, we launched a deep canvas program on the Green New Deal, knocking over 3,300 doors and trained over 200 organizers on how to organize around tenants' rights and mutual aid programs. Three, we joined our brothers and sisters at Teamsters Local 202 picket line to advocate for the Hunts Point produce market workers, helping win their largest pay raise in the Bronx in over 30 years. Four, after a historic winter freeze in Texas, we raised over $5 million for local charity and mutual aid and joined Reps Green, Jackson Lee, and Garcia in Houston to visit impacted communities. Five, we led the creation of the National Female Funeral Assistance Program, which distributed funds to families nationwide, including New Yorkers who lost loved ones due to COVID-19, in order to cover burial costs. Six, we launched an outreach campaign in four languages about vaccine safety and accessibility, reaching over 100,000 people and helping to raise vaccination rates across New York 14. Seven, we reintroduced the Green New Deal with 13 new co-sponsors, and in line with our Green New Deal for public housing, we successfully fought to get $65 billion for public housing back in the Build Back Better Act in the House. Eight, we secured $30 billion in BBB for the Civilian Conservation Corps, a key Green New Deal tenant which will create over 300,000 jobs when it passes the Senate. Nine, we successfully fought to extend the federal eviction moratorium after activists and Congress members joined Representative Cori Bush for a three-day sit-in on Capitol steps. 10. When Hurricane Ida devastated parts of our district, we knocked on doors for six straight weeks to distribute information on critical relief resources, helping folks apply for up to $34,000 in FEMA assistance, and pushed to extend the deadline to January 4th. 11. We helped stop the construction of the proposed NRG fracked gas peaker plant in Queens, which would have further polluted our air, and successfully passed the community project funding for wind energy job training in the Bronx.
You go, girl.
12. We joined the congressional delegation at the UN's climate conference, COP26, where we challenged leaders on the omission of the U.S. military from the calculation of our decarbonization commitments. 13. Our congressional office worked with the State Department to help Afghan evacuees, and along with Representatives Barbara Lee, we led 70 members of Congress in calling on the Biden administration to increase the cap on refugees to 200,000 people. 14. We continued our support of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance through their two-year fight and won a federally backed guarantee for drivers who were victims of a predatory lending scheme around taxi medallions. 15. This year in D.C., I was appointed to the Select Committee on Economic Disparity and Fairness and Growth, where I'm currently advocating for greater worker power in the economy and address generational inequities like student loan cancellation. 16. In the House, we passed legislation to provide nearly $7 million in community project funding to the Bronx and Queens, from job training to multilingual housing support. 17. We fought for the expanded child tax credit, which helped lift 12,000 children in our community alone out of poverty. 18. We introduced 10 bills and 30 amendments, as well as welcoming President Biden to Queens and Dr. Biden and Vice President Harris to the Bronx. 19. We opened over 1,800 federal constituent cases, twice as many as last year, assisting with issues like immigration, veterans affairs, Social Security, unemployment, stimulus checks, and more. 20. At the start of the school year, we provided 800 backpacks to students in need. And at Thanksgiving, we distributed over 170 turkeys to families in our district. We also raised over $34,000 for local organizations and food relief. And lastly, number 21, in our city council elections, we organized our first slate of Courage to Change candidates, and 16 won seats on New York City Council.
Nice.
Whew. Okay, that is enough. We have done an enormous amount this year because of your organizing, support, and mobilization. So I hope you all have a really wonderful end of the year and a very happy new year.
And that, bye. To me,
and now,
sounds
as Festivus like... rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
This year, the honor goes to
AOC. Oh, my God. That is how you do the feats of strength. Okay. I see Jewel. I don't know if that's your name, but because it says iPad 3. It is. Jewel, I've seen you sitting there quietly applauding there for AOC. So do you have any grievances to air or feats of strength to brag about?
My main grief for today is bad drivers, Nicole. Almost got sideswiped by a young idiot on my way to a friend's house to drop off a Christmas present.
Oh, no. Well, but you said almost, yeah. So you didn't. So that's a good thing.
I did not get hit, thank goodness. I'm out here in Sacramento, out here in California, and my feat of strength, I guess, is being able to just fight the continual depression, you know, from isolation, really.
Right. You know, that's here's a grievance for you. Fucking COVID. God damn it. We thought it was like winding down, right? And then now all of a sudden Omicron comes in. But I do have a feat of strength here. Okay, here it is. It's not really a feat of strength, but it is some good news. South Africa's huge Omicron wave appears to be subsiding just as quickly as it grew. Here's from the Washington Post. In less than a month, South Africa's Omicron wave has gone from a near vertical rise to a near vertical fall. The country's top infectious disease expert said in an interview that based on preliminary evidence from around the world, he expected curves to look much the same in other countries, and that South Africa was around 2 weeks ahead of where the United States could expect to be. So, if this holds true, yes, it's ugly now. Hospitals are full. They're bringing in mobile morgues again to some cities. It's terrifying. But they say that the symptoms, that's the other story that broke today, is that they are saying that this does not appear to be as dangerous because it doesn't attack the lungs the way Delta did. And now this saying it comes on fast, it's highly contagious, but then it goes away as quickly. So please, I'm knocking on wood laminate here, hoping that it counts.
Can I say something?
Of course. Oh, you've got your Santa hat on now.
Yep. My Santa hat is on. Because I believe in celebrating the holidays, even if you aren't.
Even if I am a pagan. Okay.
Yes, I am a pagan and you are a pagan. So that's okay.
That's okay.
We can be a pagan.
It's all right.
But what I was going to say is, now I lost my train of thought. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. It happens to me all the time. All the time.
First of all, Jewel is a neighbor of mine.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Santa Cruz.
Yes.
I'm in Santa Cruz and I'm going through the same crap she is. But everybody's been going through so much hell with COVID, and we need to grieve about the fact we've lost.
Oh, what happened? You're getting all internet-y on me. Say again. Uh-oh. I think Joy just lost her internet because Joy froze. Joy is frozen, and Jewel's not frozen, but Joy is frozen.
No, I'm here, Nicole.
Yeah, you are.
But you're right.
Am I here now?
She garbled out.
Yeah, Joy. Here? Okay, Joy's back. But now you're frozen again. Joy, I think your internet is, you're frozen with your hands in the air. So I'll take this opportunity. I told you that people get creative on the YouTubes, ow, right? I told you there are some viewer productions of Festivus songs. So I think it's a good time to hear one as Joy's hands are still up in the air, like she don't care. All right, take it away with a song called Festivus for the rest of us.
The mistletoe is dangling, there's jingling and there's jangling, but it all feels like bullshit to me. We buy all these presents, but still we're just peasants to the ones at the top of the tree. Rudolph and that coal get shoved up your asshole as soon as it's not Halloween. We'll stampede a Sears to buy toys made with tears by a kid who's not even 13. 12 days of Christmas was not enough business. The snowball gets bigger each year. Let's stop the consumption and corporate seduction and rethink the way we spread cheer. Just let me explain, my dear. Well, there's Festivus for the rest of us. We're all through with the toys and the prayer. So the rest of us, we're fed up with this. We rejoice on this day with no flair. We'll sit round the pole airing grievances. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. There's no need to bicker or argue at length. You'll get your chance in the feats of strength. So on Festivus, be adventurous. Join the rest of us, the very best of us this year.
The animation is just marvelous. For those of you only listening, I will post this video on the blog with today's show because this animation really is great, as is the music.
Sit round the pole airing grievances. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. There's no need to bicker or argue at length. You'll get your chance in the feats of strength. So this Festivus, self-reflect with us. Join the rest of us on Festivus this year. There's so much restlessness with our precedent, so let's put emphasis on this genesis. They call us treacherous, they'll doubt our relevance, try to discredit us or even threaten us. So don't you pester us with your pestilence. Be adventurous, join the exodus with the rest of us on Festivus this year. Join the rest of us on Festivus this year.
That needs some applause here. We got it. We got it. Yeah, baby. That was just awesome. And because I downloaded the video, I don't know the name of the people who did it, but I will give them credit on the blog when I post it there. Festivus for the rest of us. All right. So I'm looking at who's left in the Zoom room, and we have Nate. Nate, you've been sitting there very quietly. Now we need to hear from you. Hello, Nate. Where are you?
Venice Beach, California.
Oh, my old stomping grounds. Yeah. I used to live right off of Abbot Kinney for a little while.
I'm right over by the paddle tennis courts and the weight sets.
Okay. Oh, you're right there. You're right by the beach.
Right in the middle of some of the craziness.
But fun.
Of various sorts.
Yes. Cool. So do you have any grievances to air or feats of strength yes. to brag about?
My main grievance would be those of the progressive wing who do not understand the basic reality of the American electoral system, which is first past the post, winner takes all, which means that third, fourth, or fifth parties are masturbatory politically.
Yes, they are. Thank you for saying that. It's so, you know, I get so angry with the Green Party stuff. The Green Party pops up every 4 years to put a candidate up for president who doesn't stand a rat's chance in hell of winning. All they will do is siphon votes away from the Democrat. You have two choices when it comes to any presidential election, for sure. It's a Democrat mm-hmm. or a Republican. When it comes down to that, and I argue with Howie Klein about this all the time. Look, I wish we didn't have to choose between the lesser of two evils, but
that's how first past the post works. Though I should also caution something else.
Yeah.
Where I'm also a dual citizen of Belgium, which is a European continental parliamentary system. Mm-hmm. And which means you're looking at a coalition of four or five parties to try to get a ruling coalition. Mm-hmm. And that's not exactly a bed of roses either. Well, it is a bed of roses, except you get kind of
thorns.
Scratched up a
right.
whole bunch before
Lots
you get
thorns.
There.
Yeah. Right. But, so but.
Grass is not necessarily greener on the other side.
No, the parliamentary system is crazy. Right. Watching what went on in Israel for the last 4 years, how Netanyahu stayed in power, even though he kept losing elections because the coalition, he couldn't put the other side couldn't put together a coalition. It just doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense.
Belgium had my home country, Belgium didn't have a government for 571 days.
Wow.
Come on.
Come on.
And then
man.
Also another thing I would like to mention in terms of the progressives is guys need to sort of take a thing from the evangelicals. The evangelicals in the late 70s decided, you know what? We're going to take over the GQP. And uh-huh. they did. It took them a long time, but they never gave up. They kept at it.
Yeah, but
guess what? You got to be effing patient. If you're not, you will lose.
Well, that's true. But here's the thing. The evangelicals that hijacked that party are embracing the Antichrist over the guy who's an actual God church going.
False idols.
False idols.
It happens all the time.
Oh, my God. It's nuts.
Herr Fuhrer is their golden calf.
Right. So, you know, they claim they're evangelical. They're, you know, Jesus freaks, right? But they're not embracing the guy who actually worships Jesus and goes to church every week. Instead, they're embracing the Antichrist, the guy who held the Bible upside down, who doesn't know what 2 Corinthians is.
Well, they're making a corrupt bargain. They're making the classic thing. They're making a corrupt bargain. You make the corrupt bargain, more often than not, you get hosed.
Uh-huh. Yep. I guess so.
It's full of history. There's many a case you can find. It's not that hard.
Okay. So do you have a solution for any of this?
Well, I would say more people voting in an informed manner, especially amongst the younger set who tend not to be in the voting in every election habit.
Right. That's true. They need to vote every time.
The hardest sort of citizenship is the citizenship in a democracy or a republic where you have to be informed. It's a hell of a lot easier to be the citizen of a dictatorship where they tell you, like in China or Russia.
Yeah, well, I hear you. That's true. None of it is easy. Let's say that. I don't know where, you know, obviously I'm not alone. We've all had fantasies of escaping from here. God forbid the orange one gets back in office again.
I have a plan ready.
Well, you can go to Belgium. You have dual citizenship. I don't.
Oh, the holy you. Thank you very much.
But I don't.
I prefer Italy or Malta or the south of France. Warmer weather.
Okay. All right. Can I come?
Well, we'd have to get married.
And I'm already married.
In Belgium.
Yeah.
You'd have to sort of get an EU passport. That's a little more, that's a little tougher, I'm sorry to say.
I got it. And I'm already married. So unless we go to a place that will allow me to have two husbands, no, I don't think that's
and my work. Girlfriend would get very jealous and she might get really nasty. Oh, I gotta tell
we
you.
We don't want that. No, we don't want
no,
that.
No, it would be really, really ugly.
Okay. You know, while we're all zooming, who's zooming who, there is somebody who's doing it the old fashioned way and calling in from the 805 area code. Who's this?
Oh, hi, Nicole. It's Dan from Goleta, California.
Ah, Dan from Goleta, California. Hi there, Dan. How are things in Goleta these days?
Okay, I'm not much of a computer person, that's why. But I just wanted to piggyback off something you were saying about the Omicron, like how it's diluting in its effectiveness.
Yeah.
I just finished reading Barry's book about the 1819 flu pandemic.
Oh, he's been on this program a couple of times. Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah. And when I heard about Omicron, and I've been following this, I think it's a good sign. I think it's a sign that the virus is mutating to less and less virulent strains,
please,
which is what happened to the 1819 pandemic. Ah. And it becomes like a background infection, just like your annual flu shot.
Uh-huh.
It's mutating to less and less deadly forms, so it survives.
You know, and it might be worth getting him back on the show to ask about that.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
I think, of course, I heard him on your show that we bought the book on Monday or something and read it. And then everybody's like freaking out. And I'm thinking, well, is anybody thinking maybe this is a good sign, like read Barry's book? And, you know, so there will be outbreaks in the future, but they're going to become less and less like dangerous. Anyway, so I just wanted to get that in there because I thought it's no one saying that. And to me,
right,
it's like, God, everybody's like freaking, like, you know, the fourth, fifth booster. I have an aunt in a nursing home, and she's already gotten, like, I think her fifth booster.
Really? Well, did you hear? Israel,
95.
Israel today said that everyone 60 years and older has to get a fourth. So.
Yeah, well, they're pushing even more. And like, well, she's really old. She's 95. Oh. But anyway, I just want to say one really good thing that I really love. I love hearing your daily updates on the hour on Progressive Voices.
Oh, cool.
That kind of makes my day.
Like, oh, thank you.
I just want to give you something positive.
Thank you so much. So, I wish I could do it more. It's one newscast that runs throughout the day, but I'm just one person doing it here. But here's something.
No, they're great.
In the new year, I've been talking with the people at Progressive Voices, and they apparently What's News is pretty popular. So they've asked me to do a video version of it that we're going to post on YouTube. It'll be a little different from the 6 minute, you know, What's News that runs at the top of the hour on Progressive Voices all day. And I do an extended one, actually, that I podcast out. If there's more news than I can fit into 6 minutes, I keep it going. But then I'm going to do another version of it for video. So I have no idea how it's going to come out, but it's something we're going to try starting in January.
No, I think they make my day because your tone of voice is just perfect.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's it for now. Like, you know, that's it for now. Anyway, sorry. Happy winter solstice.
Well, thank you. The same to you too, and happy Festivus.
Okay.
All right, Dan. Thanks.
Okay. Good
thanks.
Enough.
Bye. That was nice to hear from Dan. But it that is encouraging, right? That this Omicron variant seems to be less severe. I personally love the fact that it doesn't attack the lungs, because that's why I've been a hermit for 2 years, because as a lung cancer survivor, I'm missing most of my left lung. And the doctor told me I'm no more susceptible to catching COVID than anyone else. But if I get pneumonia from COVID, I'm fucked. So David really doesn't, not that he has any control, but if he had his way, I would never leave the house. He does the grocery shopping. He does everything. And for a good year and a half, I was stuck here all the time. So I guess that's a grievance that hopefully will end pretty soon. There's somebody in the Zoom who's been there all along. It says Nog, and it's a picture of Barney Fife. Nog, are you there? Or are you just, see, we have no camera there. So I don't know who that. There you are.
Cogitating what to say, but my complaint is that these guys get up and speak a bunch of garbage, and they don't say anything worth a sheet. But the Republicans and whatever they're doing. It's just a dead end, man. They don't have any good thing good to say. They don't want to improve anything for anybody. They don't have any sentience per se. They're antisocial, and they're just against society. Any good that pops up, it's like they got to put their foot down and smash it, you know? So, yeah, that's me.
Let's hope for a new year free of the Republican trolls. Okay. Thank you, Nog, for joining in. David, you wanted to chime in one more time?
Yes, I now have another grievance.
Yes?
I would prefer you express that I do the best I can to take care of the wife that I love madly.
Yes.
Rather than position it that if I had control, I would Velcro you.
Well, I'm just saying you don't let me leave. I can't find the word. You don't tell me I can't leave, but you say you would prefer if I didn't.
Correct. I would prefer. I say I would rather go do the shopping, run mm-hmm. the errands, do whatever I can mm-hmm. to keep my darling wife safe rather than risk mm-hmm. anything happening to her
uh-huh.
as opposed to saying, you can't do this.
Right, because what would I say if you told me you can't do that?
Well, your voice would not be the perfect pitch like the guy from Goleta said if that was my response.
That's very true.
He's never heard that voice.
No, well... They've heard the voice. They've heard the voice a few times. You've heard Nicole, me get really angry. Yes.
Hang on for another half an hour if you can.
Why?
Because I think more people should. I'd like to see Deb's response.
You know,
and Linda J.
Okay.
Or at least I want to say just one thing.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We'll say goodbye to the Progressive Voices Network. Happy Festivus, everybody. All right, they're probably already gone, but I just had to do that so I have an official end to the actual show. Now we're in overtime. Okay.
Okay. I wanted to say hello to everyone in the chat room.
The YouTube chat room. The YouTube chat room is there, going strong. A lot of people didn't want to come into the Zoom, and that's okay. So we got YouTube here. We got the Zoom here.
Shy.
I need a bubble. Okay.
And I understand why.
Okay. You're right. We do have a few people in here who have their cameras off. We've got Linda J, who's been. Linda J showed up an hour early. Linda was the first person in the chat room, and I caught a glimpse of her when I let her in the room, and then she turned off her camera and her microphone and has just been a name showing up on the screen the whole time. But she got here first. Linda, did you want to talk to us?
That's Linda Joffrey, and she's my friend.
Ah, okay. Well, all right.
I don't know who Debs is.
I don't know who Debs is either. And I muted her because, oh, there she is.
There.
Hi, Debs.
Hi, Debs.
Now, you have to unmute yourself.
Hi, Hillary.
I muted you when you came in. Hold on. Let me try to unmute Debs. Okay. There you go. Hi. So we're.
I just been here. I'm an elementary school teacher, so I'm a lot more comfortable Yay. Around kids than adults.
Well, we're just big kids.
Well, I hope so.
It's just a chat among friends.
Adults are my main grievance, actually.
Mine too. I'll tell you something.
Yeah, me too. And Nate, you are exactly the person I thought you were. Bonjour,
okay, Joy. Let's talk to Debs. Is it Debbie's or is it Debs or what?
It's Debs.
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 Okay, Debs. Yeah. Can I ask where you are? What state you're in?
Sure. I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Oh. Okay. Now, so you know, I used to live in L.A. I so miss it there. Did you ever listen to any of the radio shows I was on when I lived in Los Angeles?
All the time.
Which all Mark time. And Brian or KSCA? Or both?
What was the second one?
KSCA or Channel 103.1? FM 101.9?
103.1.
That was the last one. Mm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I miss it there.
Always good to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. So, back then, you know, I was playing music. So it's a different, I'm always fascinated when I hear people who tell me, I was a big Mark and Brian fan. I used to listen to you, but I love your politics. So that's good that you can cross over all those. And then there were the music years, right? And now it's political.
Yep.
So what grade school do you teach?
Elementary school only.
All grades in
Good for you, Debs.
Well, I was a special ed teacher for most of my time there, and now I'm retired and I go back and sub. So I prefer under third grade.
I would too. That's when they're really cute. After third grade, they start getting really obnoxious.
Yeah. And they don't like me as much. Under third grade, they like me.
Because they're still adorable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Debs, so how is it with the COVID with these smaller kids?
It's hard. It's really hard. I mean, these teachers are working like crazy. The kids are taking it in stride. You know, they mostly wear their mask, and that's of course good. I'm in LAUSD, so we're under the microscope. We have to really follow the rules, which is good. Tested every week and everything.
That's good. You know, if I hadn't left LA when I left in 2001, I was living in Culver City, and I lived right down the street from the schools, and Culver City is really good schools. There was an elementary school, middle school, and a high school all within walking distance. I was so stupid to leave. I was the perfect setup for my kid, we make mistakes, so we do what we do. All right. Is there anybody that we didn't get to? I'm looking to see if there's anybody.
There she is.
There's Linda. Hi, Linda. You're joining us again.
You most likely do not remember me, but I used to answer the phones for Mark and Brian on Thursday mornings when you were producing.
Oh, my God. So Linda was a switchboarder.
I was a switchboarder.
Oh, how funny. And where are you? You're a friend of Joy's, though.
I'm a friend of Joy's.
It's such a small world, isn't it?
I remember when you and Nell Kane escorted the boys to Saudi Arabia.
Yep. Oh, we went to Saudi Arabia. And you know what?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just found the tape of that show. I had pictures of it, but the tape of the show was missing. There's an internet archive that has a lot of old Mark and Brian shows, but the show from Saudi Arabia wasn't there. I was just going through boxes to try to throw things away because I'm a pack rat, and I found the tapes from that show. So I'm going to have to dub them off and upload them somewhere.
I remember when the Marine called in, the Camp Pendleton Marine called in after he had been shipped out, and Sam Kinison came into the switchboard room with his organizer. And he was standing about 4 feet away from me, and he called Mick Fleetwood from the phone that didn't have an arable line.
Wow.
And he was calling him, and he's saying, man, get your ass out of bed and call this guy and talk to him. He's trying to save your country.
Wow.
And I just, and I became such a fan of Sam Kinison after that.
Well, David was a huge fan, so I'm sure he'd enjoy. I never heard this.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of stuff going on in the switchboard room.
Always.
I remember taking a cup of tea into the green room to give to Pat Paulson one day.
Oh.
He gave me one of his very last Pat Paulson for President buttons that I still have today.
Oh, my.
I loved it.
That's cool.
It's very cool. I met a lot of very cool people. I remember working the Christmas party that both Mark Lindsay, who I absolutely love to this day, and Mel Torme.
Oh, yeah.
That show.
Right. So Mark Lindsay of Paul Revere and the Raiders, right?
And Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders,
right?
And Mel Torme. And I was coming down out of the area where the switchboarders were because I had to go back out and work the door. And Mel Torme was coming off the stage after singing the Christmas song.
Yeah, he was great.
I was standing there, and my eyes were wet because he just sounded so fantastic. And I saw him coming off the stage, and he was about to go out the back door of the Palladium. And I said, "Oh my God, that was just so beautiful." And he leaned over and he kissed me on the cheek. And he pulled off his all access backstage pass and he handed it to me, and he said, "Thank you very much, sweetie." And he walked out the door.
Oh, what great memories!
I still have his pass.
Oh, that's awesome.
I still have his pass. I didn't get a picture, but I still have the pass.
Yeah, I don't have a picture with Mel Torme either, but I remember he was so charming and so wonderful.
Oh,
and
my he's such a beautiful man.
I think it was his daughter, Daisy Torme, who brought him to us. She was great, too.
And I think that was the show that Jack Palance read, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Yep.
And he was upstairs in the area where the switchboarders were. And I had heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I had heard that he went to Penn State, which is where I went to school. And I went over and he was with his son. And I said, I just wanted to tell you, you know, I'm very happy to meet you. And I'm so glad you're here. And I'm really looking forward to hearing you. And his son said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm just one of the volunteers and I'm here to work for the show." And his son went over to him and talked to him for a second and said, came back to me and he said, "My father would like to know if there's a place where he can go and learn his lines." Well, I went downstairs to the stage area and I found CW.
Uh-huh. CW West.
CW West. And I told him what was going on. And CW went backstage and came back and he said, "Stay here." And he came and found me and we went back upstairs and found Mr. Palance and he went and got him. And Jack Palance went back to wherever the dressing room was that they put him with the book.
Right.
And came back out 20 minutes later and did a cold read of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas without looking at the book.
Oh, wow. See, I had the book. I had this.
He the book in 20 minutes.
That's amazing. I had the book.
I never told these stories to anybody.
Well, I'm loving hearing it. You know, I had the book that we would have a big star. It was everyone from Jack Palance 1 year. It was
Buddy Ebsen
1 year, right? I'm trying to remember who all did it. Burgess Meredith 1 year read The Night Before Christmas. We'd have a big star come in to read it. And I would have Tony Curtis 1 year. Do you remember my thing with Tony Curtis? Tony Curtis wanted me. Tony Curtis.
He was so funny to be around.
Oh my God. He would call me. He used to call me like at all hours. He really wanted to take me out and I wouldn't go out with him. Joy, you got to mute your thing because we're hearing you and I don't know if someone else is talking. So if you're not coming on the air, you need to mute your mic. Anyway, so Tony Curtis was the biggest flirt, but I'd have this book, which was The Night Before Christmas, that they would all sign, that they'd give it to them when they went out on stage and they'd read from it. I didn't know that Jack Palance took it and memorized it, but I had them all autograph it. And about, I don't want to say about 8 years ago, I had a big sale and I sold off all the stuff. And that book had been autographed by Jack Palance, Tony Curtis, Burgess Meredith, and I forget.
Buddy Ebsen.
And probably Buddy Ebsen. Although I think Buddy Ebsen was there the year before I got there. But regardless, that was always an experience. I worked my ass off producing those shows. We would do this in the morning from 6 to 10 a.m. When I first got there.
Till
11. We'd always run long. But when I first got there, we were doing it at the Airport Marriott Ballroom. Yeah. And then it got so big, we moved it to the Palladium. And I understand after I left, they moved it to the Wiltern, I think.
House of Blues, I think.
I think they did different places, but it was the best when I was there.
I think so, too. But it was a lot of fun. And I did enjoy working with you.
Oh, good. I know that, you know, I have my moments where I can be a little harsh. And that, I'll tell you, back, so it was 90 to 94 that I produced that show. We took them to number one in Los Angeles. When I got there, they were rising. I mean, they were making a lot of noise. But when I was there, we became number one, beat Rick Dees, who was the big shot in town. Then, of course, Howard Stern came in and beat us. But, you know, that's radio. But we had fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work.
A lot of fun in the switchboard room, too.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because some people who went through the switch, I hear from switchboarders from time to time, but the one was Michelle Tafoya, who went on to be like a sports person for NBC. I heard she just lost her job. But, you know, it was interesting, all the people that came through that room. But we're talking, you know, 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, one of the things when I started there, Nurse Susan met me during the blood drive. And I always wanted to work in entertainment. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, being able to answer the phones at the station was how I got my job working at a studio.
Really?
I went on to work at MGM and then later at Sony Pictures.
Wow. Just from being a switchboarder at KLOS? Just
from answering phones at a radio station.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly what I wanted to do, but it was close enough for government work.
There you go. Well, it's so nice to meet you, and thank you for telling us these stories. I love that. I'm going to have to dub off, I did find a whole bunch of tapes. I'm going to have to dub them off and post them somewhere, because there was that internet archive, so I'll do that.
You're very welcome. And there are so many other things that happened. There are a few things that, weren't necessarily airable.
There were things that weren't airable that we aired.
Yeah. There was somebody that called in one time that was really rude on the phone. And there were two lines that we had in the switchboard room that the boys couldn't get in the studio. And somebody that they wanted to talk to on the air called in on one of them. And he was a well-known comic. And he was rude as you could not believe. And I kept answering the phone, and he kept, demanding that I put him through to them. And I'm like, you need to give me your phone number or so that I can have them call you back. And he would start swearing at me.
Oh, how funny. Well,
and I said, look, they can't pick up this line. I can't do this. And he said, no, you got to give me, I'm not giving you my number. What am I, what do you think? I'm effing nuts. And I'm like, no.
Who, do you know who it was?
Oh, yeah, I know who it was.
Tell us.
Dice.
Oh, Andrew Dice Clay. You know what? Yeah. He came in, and I was never a fan of his. I always thought he was an asshole.
I'm still not.
No, I'm not either. But when he was on the show, he was as nice as could be. He was like a gentleman. He just showed that it was all an act. His whole thing was an act. But, that's when I realized that the persona so many of them put on is not real. He was a prime example. For some reason, I was interviewed about that for some newspaper article. This is just all coming back to me now. The fact that he was a nice guy and wasn't a dick to the people who called in, although he was to you, apparently. So there you go.
He was the biggest dick I have ever talked to on the phone, and he called in and he absolutely refused to cooperate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I can't transfer the call. They can't pick it up. And he said, well, I'm not giving you my number. And I'm like, okay, sorry. And I hung up on him.
Right. Yeah.
And he called back about 15 seconds later, and I picked up the phone again, and he's like, look, I need to talk to Mark and Brian. And I'm like, okay. I said, they can't answer this line. And he said, look, this is Dice. I need to talk to Mark and Brian. And I'm like, okay, I keep telling you they can't pick up this line. Mm-hmm. I need to have your number so that I can have them call you back. And he's like, I'm not effing giving you my number.
Oh, my God. I don't know how you did. I would have told him to fuck off and hung up.
And I hung up again. I said, sorry, and I hung up again. And about the third time he did it, I got ready to hang up again. And I said, look, I keep telling you, they can't pick up this line. And I said, so if you're not going to give me the number, I'm just going to hang up again. And he said, wait a minute. And he finally gave me the number.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you know, God. It's like
you still have it.
Prepared, fella. You know.
can I ask? Can I intercede?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in the chat room wanting to know the link or the
right to get in here. There is no passcode. I just answered that. So if you want to join us in the Zoom, it's tinyurl.com/FestivusZoom. There's no passcode. Just go in there. And when I see you're waiting, I let you in. That's how easy it is. We try to simplify things around here.
And just to answer the chat from here, I don't have a kvetch.
You don't have a kvetch. Kvetch.
No, I just wanted to catch up with Nicole.
Cool. Well, it's so nice. Thank you. It's so nice to reconnect. You know, I go through these old memories every now and then, and it was a really great time in my life. And the only reason, well, I left there because Brian and I fought all the time. And this new radio station was starting up. That was the kind of music I liked. This format known as AAA, which stood for Adult Album Alternative. And it was just, the format was just starting to take off. There was a station in Boulder, Colorado called KBCO. And the guy who programmed that station was a consultant. And I heard that he was talking to a station in LA to bring the format there. So I flew out to meet him, and I sort of finagled my way in, and they hired me when the station launched in July of 1994. I did middays. And then later on, management at KLOS fired Chuck Moshantz, who did the news with Mark and Brian. So my bosses hired him and teamed us up and put us together in the morning opposite Mark and Brian. It was sort of like people would say, oh, it's the intelligent half of that show. And the last time I saw Brian in person was at a party, and I told him, Chuck is joining me and we're moving to mornings. I think I saw smoke come out of his ears and he bolted out of there. It was the last time I ever saw him.
By the way, somebody posted the Polar Express.
Okay.
From the Christmas shows, or not really from the Christmas shows, from the studio. And they did a montage of it with Chuck, Michael York, Morgan Freeman, and Carrie Elwes.
This was after me. That was after I left. Yep. Not during my time. I brought in the night before Christmas, I brought in the radio theater because I worked in I worked in New York before I moved out to LA, and at I guess it was WMCA they did a radio old time radio theater production of the Christmas Carol, and I still had the script, so I brought it in and we did it. I think we did it once or twice before I left, and then it became an annual thing that they do after I left. So some traditions live on.
Yeah, very definitely. Well, anyway, the Polar Express is on YouTube.
I don't know anything about it. I really did not, you know, when I left there, I really left there. I didn't listen to the show anymore. I was doing my own thing. So 94, I was gone and on to the world of music where, you know, I lived for the next decade.
Yeah.
But it was fun, and it's nice to relive these old memories and hear these stories. I never heard that about Sam Kinison.
Oh, I felt so bad when I heard that he got killed in that accident.
Horrible. Wait, so he was in the station when we were in Saudi Arabia?
He was about 4 feet away from me.
Wow. That's fascinating.
You know, I mean, and he had been out all night partying, and you know, and we were giving him coffee to keep him going.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And he was just so nice to us, you know. And my birthday was about a couple days after Mark's. And so somebody made banana bread or something like that for me for my birthday, because I came in one Thursday morning and it was my birthday. And we had a guest that day. And they ate all my bread.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Not at all. No, not at all.
Not at all.
But it was funny. It was fun. We had it. And I remember getting special permission. This was after you left. Mark Lindsay came into the studio. And I got special permission to come in to see Mark Lindsay.
Wow.
And having been a fan of his since I was 9, I brought in a stack of LPs. And I was carrying them, and he autographed a lot of them.
Oh, that's very nice. You know, most of the artists and guests who would come in there were really great. Most of them were gracious and friendly and nice and charming. It was a very rare time when someone would come in and be an asshole. In fact, I can't really think of any from the Mark and Brian days. From KSCA, I only had one bad experience with an artist, and it was Marshall Crenshaw, if you know who he is. He just, it was not good. But yeah, you know, there's a thing. It seems like the bigger the star is, the cooler they were. Mel Brooks, for example, was just a love. Dick Van Dyke was amazing. Sweetheart. Yeah.
I'll have to send you a picture of that Pat Paulson for president.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, you guys, I am going to, I'm going to wrap this up because I'm getting hungry. It's dinner time here. I'm thinking, you know, I have these other things, I have some Festivus songs and I have some other, I'm going to play, you know what? I'm going to leave you with something that's not even Festivus related, though it is holiday related. It's another one. The Parody Project has been very busy in the last week or so. They put out a bunch of songs. And this one relates specifically to the former guy, you know, the orange thing that used to occupy the Oval Office. And it looks like the 1-6 commission, I almost called it the 9/11 commission, is going for him. And so with that in mind, the Parody Project has a little song, and I think you'll enjoy this. So I'll leave you with this. I'll be back tomorrow. Howie Klein will be here. We'll be here Friday. We'll be here next week. So I know other shows are gone on vacation. Not us. We're here. So come back. Bring your friends. We're here. You know, I broadcast from my house. So what else am I going to do? All right. I'm going to leave you with this one. You'll recognize the tune. Thank you all for hanging. This was a fun Zoom experiment. Holidays. Happy holidays. A happy Festivus. A Festivus.
Happy a Festivus for the rest of us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Everybody. All right. And I'll leave you with this little ditty. It's beginning to look a lot like Rico. Here we go. Uh-huh.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
It's beginning to look a lot like Rico. The more and more we know. It began with a major gaffe by a former chief of staff. The PowerPoint that came from Mark Meadows. It's beginning to look a lot like Rico. What they have in store. The congressional inquiry now has in their hands the key to expose much more. Dig to their roots and they're all in cahoots. Yet they say it's all just a myth. Run out the club because they don't want to talk. And now they're all pleading the fifth. They think they will be off the hook as midterms come forthwith. It's beginning to look a lot like Rico. Just as in our ears. And the guilty will start to sing to avoid being in the ring of the racketeers. They decided to blame an emergency claim that the Chinese had interfered. Mail ballots avoid, they would all be destroyed or just magically disappeared. The election would be overturned, and that's when it got weird. It's beginning to look a lot like Rico. None can be excused. For once the Donald was right there with when he said those who plead the fifth are guilty of the crimes which they're accused of. It's beginning to look a lot like Rico. Watergate looks pale. It was a criminal enterprise, so none should be surprised when they land in jail with no chance of bail.
Bye, everyone. See you tomorrow.